This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry today. Thank you so much for listening.
I'm not running against crooked Hillary Clinton. I'm running against the crooked media. These are the most dishonest people.
When you can say something on television, you reach everybody at one time. There's something awfully nice. You call somebody a certain name and everybody hears it at one time.
Well, you know the voice, but the chances that Donald Trump will actually become president of the United States, those chances are becoming increasingly slim. Nearly every national poll and most of the important state polls have Donald Trump trailing Hillary Clinton, and he remains disastrously unpopular among non-white and moderate voters. Donald Trump has to find a way to convince somebody besides white males to vote for him. So it was confusing to a lot of people when this week Donald Trump named Stephen Bannon the chief executive of his campaign. Now, Bannon is known in media circles as the executive chairman of Breitbart News. That's an alt-right, often conspiratorial, often fringe conservative media site. Before he died, Andrew Breitbart, who founded the company himself, once described Bannon with sincere admiration as the Leni Riefenstahl of the Tea Party movement. Add to the mix Trump's new advisor, Roger Ailes, the former Fox News chairman who was ousted over sexual assault accusations. And from a distance, this does not look like a team assembled to impress the broad middle of America or win over moderates to get to the White House. But that's fed suspicion among media watchers and political experts that Trump may already be thinking about the day after the election, that in fact, he's put together the pieces to capitalize on the loyal and captive audience at his Make America Great Again rallies and monetize them into a new right-wing media empire. Joining me now is Sarah Ellison. She's a contributing editor with Vanity Fair. Sarah, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I'm so glad you're here because everyone is looking at Donald Trump's new team and speculating wildly that he's cornering the market on a new right-wing media empire.
Right.
You reported all of this back in June.
Right. I mean, the thing that is interesting, that's interesting to me, too, in fact. And it makes sense, but it actually, there have been discussions about this. So this is not just something that we have all been thinking about in the media. This is something that Trump and his son-in-law Jared Kushner have had conversations about. How would you monetize this audience? And what was struck me back when I was doing this reporting the first time around was that they talked about the electorate as an audience. And I think that is the main takeaway here, is that Trump doesn't distinguish between what an audience would be that you could actually monetize and what the political electorate is that would actually go out and vote for someone.
And at the beginning of this Trump campaign, so many people, and I will confess, even myself, strongly suspected all of politics to an extent is self-serving, but many of us suspected a truly self-serving effort from Donald Trump, that this may be about his brand and about business as much as the country, if you want.
Well, I think that I don't think this has been extraordinarily strategized or planned out by him, and I don't think that he operates in that way. I think that this is the kind of thing that once he started to get some success in his primary campaign, people around him said, well, could we make some money off of this? Because, I mean, one of the frustrations that I heard from people that I was talking to is that he says, I'm boosting the ratings of all these other news outlets. We're not making any money off of this ourselves. And for somebody who sees himself as a businessman and clearly sees that as a motivation, this is an obvious way to go. Now, the most convincing pushback that I've gotten on this is somebody who's pretty close to him said he's already figured out an easier way to make money, which is just put his name on things, whether it's Trump steaks or Trump shirts or, you know, whatever it is that he's licensing. So I don't know exactly how day-to-day involved he would be, which is why somebody like a Steve Bannon is so eye-opening to people.
So does that imply then that the recruitment of Steve Bannon, to those of us who are into politics, it does not spell the recipe for reaching the broad middle? Steve Bannon is not the guy that you would hire to try to get to the White House with the campaign in the state that it is in. Does that suggest then that Bannon is part of a strategy to identify and wall off the contours of this amazing audience that Trump might have and be able to go after them after the election?
I mean, I think that certainly that's a logical sort of place to go. I think that what he's doing is conducting an incredibly savvy and successful media campaign. I mean, this is a media strategy, whether or not they're calling it that because you need to have an audience that is focused and interested in your product. I mean, these are the kind of things media executives are looking at this and saying, like, if only we could get this kind of a dedicated audience that Trump has.
I just want to point out one detail from your story that I think a lot of people missed. It has this fantastical idea that Donald Trump discussed with executives at NBC potentially continuing a version of The Apprentice from the Oval Office if he were elected. We don't have to give up the show. You can still do this from the White House.
Yes. I mean, the idea was that you couldn't do it during the campaign because of the equal time laws. But once you were in the White House, it's a possibility. You could certainly do it from there. So then we really would be living in a sort of Truman Show reality.
So what do we know then, before we let you go, Sarah, about how accurately Trump has put his finger on this audience and what they might be worth? I mean, Rupert Murdoch and Fox News figured out some of this a long time ago.
Sure.
That part's not new.
Well, I mean, I think that when you look at this, I mean, people are also talking about the idea that Roger Ailes is sort of an unofficial advisor. He is, of course, the father of Fox News, and it's an older audience. And in fact, one of the things that the people on the Trump campaign said, what they said was that we identified something that even Fox News couldn't identify. So clearly there's a much more nativist, I mean, that's why Steve Bannon makes so much sense, a much more nativist kind of overtly angry group of people. It's smaller. It's smaller than what Fox News is doing, because Fox News is not just the most popular cable news program in prime time. It's the most popular cable program anytime. So Breitbart is still very small when it comes to in terms of that type of an audience. I think that he does have his finger on the pulse here.
Well, Donald Trump has perplexed a lot of people in the political world by bringing on a team in the closing months of this election that does not suggest a strategy that might win him the White House. But Sarah Ellison, contributing editor of Vanity Fair, has been telling us since back in June, if anyone is listening, that Donald Trump may have a media strategy instead. Sarah Ellison, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.